Brother John has selected for his topic the Beast of Revelation 13. The Beast of Revelation 13, Brother John Hasty.
Thank you. I haven't looked forward to doing this discourse because it is the last one of the convention. I didn't want to see it come around. I've enjoyed so much this convention, brethren. I guess one reason is that we have recently become members of the class. And something else you might not know, Brother Arthur, that just gave the prayer, also has joined this class. So we're growing in leaps and bounds. We would like to consider with you the Beast of Revelation 13, and also we'll be giving our views on what we think the mark of the beast is. And along with that, we would like to check out Daniel's visions in Daniel 7 and compare that with Revelation 13. And last but not least, Matthew, the 14th chapter, has to do with John the Baptist's last days, and we'd like to consider a little of that. In verse 1, then, of Revelation 13, what John saw was a beast that came up out of the sea. And he describes this beast as having seven heads and ten horns, and upon the heads of the beast was the names of blasphemy. And in verse 2, John describes this beast as being like unto a leopard, and his feet as the feet of a bear, his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. This gives us the description of the beast. Now let us consider the meaning of the things John saw. The beast coming up out of the sea, in verse 1, tells us that he is coming up out of the people of the world. We get this thought from Revelation 17:15, where it states, "And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and nations and tongues." Okay, and the beast had ten horns. In the Bible, a horn is a symbol of power. Also, the number 10. And the number 7 here means completeness, earthly and heavenly completeness. So the 10 horns, we believe, would show that the beast had complete power or control over the people. Now, what do we get from the fact that this beast had a likeness of three other beasts? Remember, he was like a leopard, his feet were as the feet of a bear, his mouth was as the mouth of a lion. Before we decide who the beast is, let us find out who the three others are that he favors. And we can find that out in Daniel 7, as we mentioned earlier. Daniel 7, verses 2 through 6. Daniel spake and said, "I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven strove upon the great sea, and four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion, and he had eagle's wings. And I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second, like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said thus to it, Arise, devour much flesh. And after this I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl, and the beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it." Now we must understand Daniel here is a prophet of the Lord. And what he sees in his vision is how the Lord looks upon things. To man, something may be great and wonderful, while to the Lord it would be beastly. For instance, take the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel says of him in Daniel 2:31-33, he says, "Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. And this great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee. And the form thereof was terrible, or mighty, I think, in this case. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast of and arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. In the following verses, Daniel says to the head, he says that the head of this image is the king, King Nebuchadnezzar. And he speaks of the three other kingdoms that are to come after him. They are each going to rule the world for a period of time. We believe this great image and the four beasts that Daniel saw in his vision are one and the same thing. The lion that Daniel saw represented Babylon. The bear was Medo-Persia. The leopard was Greece. And this was a vision of the nations that would later rule the world. Now in Daniel 7, verse 7, Daniel tells us about the fourth beast that was to rule the world. And he says, after this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it had 10 horns. I'll go with these 10 horns again, full power. Then Daniel says in verse 8, I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. A change seems to have come over this fourth beast. This horn that came up with eyes shows us that he had great wisdom. But he not only had great wisdom, he also had everything that all the other three beasts had before him. Going back to Revelation 13 again, we're going to be going back and forth quite a bit, brethren, so if you find a bookmark someplace, you might put one over in Daniel, one in Revelation here. Revelation 13, we will read verse 2 over. This is John's vision. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power. So the beast that John saw had the likeness of all the other three beasts or kingdoms that had ruled the world. It had the strong mouth of the lion, Babylon. It had the strength of the bear, Medo-Persia. And it was spotted like the leopard, Greece. The leopard is known for its spots, black and white spots. And these colors of black and white in the Bible have meaning for us. White stands for righteousness or goodness, while black stands for evil and sin. The leopard, representing Greece, shows that Greece seemed good in some ways, and in other ways it was evil. Or we might say it was wise and unwise. Also, the tawny color, golden color of the leopard, would cause confusion of the eyes, and looking almost golden, the people could see clearly. They could not see clearly the white and black spots. The beast that John saw had this likeness. It would seem to appear good when really it was bad or evil. Before we go further into this, we might remind ourselves that at one time, God said to Israel, only you only, have I known of all the families of the earth. Israel had been in favor with God, but because they were unfaithful to him, he cast them off. God then let the Gentiles begin ruling the world. Reading from Ezekiel chapter 21, verses 25 through 27, it says this, And thou profane, wicked prince of Israel, whose day is come, when iniquity shall have an end, thus saith the Lord God, Remove the diadem, and take off the crown. Exalt him that is low, and abase him that is high. I will overturn it, and it shall be no more until he comes, whose right it is, and I will give it him. This ruling crown that God allowed the kings of Israel to wear was to be turned over and over to the Gentiles until he comes, whose right it is. And the only one that had that right was our Lord Jesus. It's no wonder that Daniel had trouble describing the beast, the fourth beast. He calls it dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly. We can see how when each beast or kingdom would take over the other, they would each in turn keep the useful things for themselves of the preceding empires. Each beast came up from the sea, or in plain language, each kingdom came up or was made up out of the world of mankind. The world also uses this language. We overheard a newsman say one time that you could not prick the paw of the Russian bear and expect to turn him into a lamb. But as we were saying, the power that was left of the first kingdom, our beast, would be melted into the next to rule the world, and so on down the line until the fourth beast came on the scene. And the power belonging to this fourth beast then was given over to the beast that John saw. Now, we have been speaking of nations and looking at them through the eyes of our Lord and his people. All this time, we believe that the nations were to rule was 2,520 years. From the time Babylon took the lion, from the time Babylon the lion took Israel captive in 606 B.C. until 1914, which we believe was the end of the Gentile times. The kings were allowed to rule during this period, and to the Lord their kingdoms were beastly. We have not stated who we believe the beast is, the fourth beast, that we read about in Revelation 2, 13:2. What we would like to say is that Rome was the fourth nation to rule the world. The dragon we read about was pagan Rome. And the power of pagan Rome was given over to who? It was given over to the papacy, wasn't it? The two became one, and that made a terrible beast to behold, a church and state system known as the reign of papal Rome. Reading on now in verse 4 of Revelation 13, 4 through 7. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things, and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. The 42 months, or the fifth verse, we believe is given a year for a day, as many of our time points are. As an example, let's read Revelation 11:2. Quote, but the court which is without the temple leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. In other words, 42 months would add up to 1,260 days, or in this case, 1,260 years. This time began, we believe, in A.D. 539 and ended in 1799, when the Pope was taken prisoner by Napoleon. Daniel 12 brings out some of these things in verses 9 through 13. Daniel 12, 9 to 13. And he said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. But go thou thy way till the end be, it tells Daniel, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. So the 1,290 days from 539 A.D. puts us up to 1829, we believe, when we believe the truth was beginning to be understood, Then in the 1335 years from 539 A.D., this would bring us up to 1874 when God's word would be made plain to his faithful people. Reading again now, Revelation 13:6, and he opened his mouth and blaspheming against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. Well, how did the beast blaspheme God? He did this, we believe, by his great swelling words and being as God, or taking the place of God on earth. The tabernacle here is the true church that was blasphemed. In the third verse of Revelation 13, then, which we skipped, John says, and I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. We will explain later how we believe the Reformation was the wound. And reading in verses 8 through 10 of Revelation 13, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, this beast, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear to hear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Remember, the beast that John saw is the same that Daniel saw in the horn, which had the eyes. Jumping over to Daniel again, 7, reading from Daniel 7, 11 and 12, he says, I beheld because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. Now this horn Daniel speaks of came up and knocked out three other horns, which we believe represented three pagan governments that interfered with papacy having full power until the year 539 A.D. Now in Revelation 13, 11 and 12, we have altogether another beast. And it says, and I beheld another beast, John is saying, coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Now this is enough to start your head spinning if you're anything like me. But we can disregard all those kingdoms that the Lord spoke of as being beastly over in Daniel, the Gentile nations really. All we're concerned with now is the church and state governments and finding out who the beast is that we have all wondered about at least sometime in our life in Revelation 13. Someone asked me once who I thought the beast was in Revelation 13. I said, which beast do you mean? For here we have two beasts and one image of the beast, other than the four beastly governments that we read about in Daniel. The beast, then, we believe is the papacy together with the ten divisions of the nation of Rome. And we all know they rule the world for 1,000 years. Now, who is our next beast that came up out of the earth? He had two horns that looked like a lamb. We think the earth here would represent an order-loving people, for the earth is solid compared to the sea. We're told that this second beast would be Great Britain, and his two horns are the churches of England and Ireland. His horns looked like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. The dragon would represent a civil power. So here we have our second beast, and as it says in the 12th and 13th verses of Revelation 13, this beast had great power such as the first beast before him. Remember, It's said about England that their flag, how has it put, sun never ceased to shine on their flag, I believe is what it says, something like that. So,
sun never sets on their flag.
That's what it is. And they were all over the world, you know, just about ruled it for a while. Anyway, from Revelation 13, let's read verses 13 and 14. And it says there, and he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword, and did live. Now this system is posing as the bride of Christ. Yet it was awaited to a worldly government. In the Lord's eyes, it would be beastly. What do we know offhand of the Church of England's past? From the year 1538, according to my records, to 1871, which is 333 years, this Church of England and Ireland was called the Church of England and Ireland. What did they did claim to be God's true church, just as papacy had before them. Then in 1871, the Church of England cast off her Irish horn, and she would surely be as a lamb if she was without England. What does the fire in the 13th verse remind us of? The fire in the sight of men. Well, in order for me to find out what it meant, I had to go somewhere else. It reminds me of some scriptures. We would like to read 1 Kings 18:38. Just to lead us up to this thought. 1 Kings 18:38, quote, "The fire, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench." Also, Leviticus 9:24, "And there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces." So the fire in the 13th verse of Revelation 13 that came down from heaven on the earth in sight of men seemed to show that the deeds of the second beast would appear great in the eyes of the people. It is suggested that the second beast would prove to all but the elect, that is the true church, that his claims to divine approval were correct. Now, we have a clue in the 14th verse as to how we can say the earth represents an order-loving people. "For the second beast tells those that dwell on the earth to make an image to the first beast." And those dwelling on the earth are at least Christian in name. And they would love order. They would be people of the sea otherwise. "So the second beast said, make an image to the first beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live." It was the reformers, we believe, during the Reformation that wounded the beast. They did this with the sword of the Spirit. That is, with the truth. But they didn't wound him unto death. They stopped their protesting or their wounding. And they formed what is known as the Evangelical Alliance. And this alliance, we believe, is the image of the beast. We would like to read now Revelation 13:15. "And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast." This Church of England, the second beast. "He had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed." Now this word "killed" here means excommunicated, we think. If you disagree with the doctrines of this alliance, you will be cast out of the church. Papacy acknowledges this image. She claims the Protestant churches as her daughters. And that alone makes a pretty good image. Brother Russell seemed to think that the image would gain power in the last days of this evil order. and probably do harm to the true church. We would like to read an account that would go along with this. It's in Matthew 14, 1 through 12. I know there's some disagreement among the brethren on this, but to me, I'm more convinced than I was when I wrote this talk, and that's better than 20 years ago. but these things are coming about in preparation, it seems to me. Matthew 14, beginning with verse 1. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus and said unto his servants, "This is John the Baptist, who is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John had said unto him, It is not lawful for thee to have her. And when he would have put him to death, when Herod would have put John to death, he feared the multitude, because they counted John as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, Give me here John the Baptist's head on the charger. And he sent and beheaded John in the prison. And his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. And his disciples, John's disciples, came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. Now, it is our thought that John would represent the true church here, like the feet members of the Lord's followers, and that Herod would represent the civil power of the nations, or the governments. Herodias would picture the papacy, the old mother, while the daughter of Herodias would be the Protestant churches, the image of the beast, the false churches, I guess I should say. Now, John, the true church, speaks out against this union of Herod and Herodias, this church and state system that some believe is developing and is almost to that point right now. Anyway, the old mother, the papacy, is angry. Some have said that this was none of John's business, this church and state system, and his speaking out against it. But isn't it true that the true church would be drawn into such a thing by force? We are not the bride of civil power. We're the bride of Christ, potentially. And we would protest any such union. In our study, this is what makes the old mother angry. She is in the background now, just as the beast was before, who had the wound by the sword and did live. This is shown by the fact that it is the daughter of Herodias who is doing the dancing. The daughter is the image of the mother, and as she dances, it pleased Herod very much, and he says, "Well, my dear, for this you can have just anything you want." And the daughter had gotten together with her mother, and since the mother had lost her power to some degree, she asked the daughter to do what she had been unable to do, and that was to get the head of John the Baptist, to destroy the true church. Going back to Revelation 13 now, we will read verses 16 and 17. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. What is the mark of the beast, we might ask ourselves? Most of us, I'm sure, know already. What is the mark of this beast? A mark is not too much different from an image. But it is thought that the mark of the beast is the doctrines of the beast, also fear of the beast, and it could include sympathy for the beast or worship for the beast. sympathy for that condition of things, the old harlot and all. When Pope Paul was in the States some years back, the TV news covered his visit, and we saw him coming down the street in this automobile with sunroof, glass, or whatever. And the cameras picked up a woman. And this woman was watching him very closely, and she just seemed to go insane. She jumped up and down, and she said, "Oh, it just seemed like light in his car." And I thought the Pope left a pretty good mark on that lady. The 17th verse of Revelation 13 stated that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark. Well, this buying and selling doesn't pertain to temporal things altogether, although it could, such as food and so forth, in the true sense of the word. But it is more the thought that you can't sell your ideas on the truth. If you don't have the beastly doctrines, if you have the mark of the beast, everyone will hear you. They will even pay you to talk, but they won't hear the truth. Can we sell anyone our ideas on the kingdom today? We can't even give them away. Nor can we buy what they, the false churches, say. The Bible states that restitution is spoken by all God's holy prophets since the beginning of the world. Well, the churches, will the churches believe that? No, they say you either go to heaven or you go to hell. And if you're not with them, it will be hell that you go to. The system that taught this doctrine hell, in the eyes of God, is a beast. Hear what the Lord says of the part of Israel that went after false gods. We read from Jeremiah 32, 33 through 35. Jeremiah 32, 33 through 35. Quote, "And they have turned unto me the back," the Lord is saying, "and not the face, though I taught them, rising up early and teaching them. And they have not hearkened to receive instruction, but they set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to defile it. And they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and daughters to pass through the fire and the Moloch, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin." We say that it was not God, the Heavenly Father, who would burn his people in the fire. But it was Satan who put this thought into the minds of the people. The same old Moloch doctrine has come down to our day and has been embraced by so many of our friends in the churches. We come now to the last verse of Revelation 13, that's verse 18. Quote, "Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Well, what is the meaning of 666, and how do we reach the answer? It is said that on the Pope's crown are the words, "Vicarius Filii Dei." I'm not very good at Latin. Maybe I should have gotten another brother in the crowd to come up and say this. The English, anyway, of this Vicarius Filii Dei is supposed to mean the vicar of the Son of God, or the one that takes the place of the Lord. By taking the letters of Vicarius Filii Dei and using Roman numerals instead, you can then add up the numbers and your total will be 666. And this is the number of the beast and the papacy as a whole, we think. In short, Revelation, the 13th chapter, seems to cover the period of the Gospel Age. The Lord, through his servant John, gave us this book in symbols, and through that faithful and wise servant, our pastor, the Lord has made much of this book plain to us. We do not understand it all yet, and perhaps we never will. But with the Holy Spirit and the Lord's guidance, we can see much more in the days to come. We hope this discussion has been of some help to us in understanding better the chapter of Revelation 13. Thank you, brethren. The Lord bless all of you on your way home. 152.
Thank you, Brother Hasty. The insight of the prophecies that God has for us certainly are important in our walk, and the Revelation 13 and the beast there is something that we're all studied into and need to continue to look at more closely. Brother Hasty has selected 152 for his closing hymn. Let's look at that, and if you would, we'll sing, let's sing the first and the last verse of 152, 1,000 years. And after that, I'll ask Brother John to close us in prayer in this part of the service.
Thank the gracious Heavenly Father for all the many blessings, for the privilege we've had of having this convention here in Huntsville. And we thank Thee for the presence of all the brethren that's been with us, and for all the services. We thank Thee for Thy love and the Holy Spirit and for Thy guidance. And be with our brethren on the way home, and be with us, and forgive us for anything that we might have said that is amiss. Guide us and keep us always, and we pray Thy kingdom might fully be established in the earth soon. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.